did meet a flaccid dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat, man!
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle's just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
And they make tremendous polling platforms in Pro Angler 14s.
You're here. Should be part of the commercial.
It should be part. Well, maybe I can get Steve to do that for me, or maybe Steve can teach me how to make a commercial. Welcome to the Monday Night Kickoff Show. I am one half of the hosting crew here at the Monday Night Kickoff Show. Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. Join with me, as always, is Mr. Alan Ryland.
What's up, everybody?
And we got a bunch of things to get to. We may or may not have a guest tonight. I don't know if they're going to call or not, but we're supposed to be hearing from the fine folks over at RAM, rod holders and accessories and whatnot. So we'll see if those folks call. I know Justin Ritchie wants to give us a shout, talk about his weekend. If anybody out there is listening to the show tonight and wants to give us a call and talk about your fishing weekend, or upcoming events, if you've got anything going on in your perspective kayak clubs, feel free to give us a shout. The phone lines are always open, 714-816-4727. And, yeah, we'd love to hear from you. Love to see what you guys are up to in your neck of the woods, wherever that may be. So feel free to give us a call. A couple of things we're going to get to early on. Of course, we're getting closer and closer to the Help Emily Now tournament for our good friend, the Rouse family. If you guys are not aware of what this tournament is all about, feel free to go to the website, helpemilynow.org. There you'll find out all the information you'll ever need to know about the Rouse family, Emily's story, the tournament they're putting on, and ways you can donate and contact information as well. You can register for the tournament on their website. Registration is open right now. There is no entry fee for the tournament. However, we're looking for folks to either donate a little entry fee either at the event or on their website, or you can simply show up and buy a bunch of raffle tickets for any one of the number of amazing prizes that continue to flow in for this great tournament. Obviously, most of us here have kids. If you don't have kids, you probably will eventually, or maybe you have grandkids if you listen to the show. This is one that hits home deeply to me, being the father of a special needs child myself. This is definitely something worth coming out to. Last year, it was a great event. Tons of people showed up. So, again, if you get a second, check it out. HelpEmilyNow.org is the website. The tournament date is... September the 14th, 2013. That will be held at Kayaks by Bow in Titusville. If you guys are not familiar with where Kayaks by Bow is located, but you know about Titusville, Florida, we're in the downtown district. On the if you're going southbound from Garden Street, we are on your right-hand side in a big yellow building. You can't miss us, just after the Playhouse. So the check-in will be there as well. You have to check in the morning before going to your launch destination. There's no specific launch destination that has been set, so you can fish pretty much wherever you want. You just have to come back to that You have to stop by and then come back to Kayaks of Boat to weigh in. And if you decide for whatever reason you didn't have a good day on the water and you just want to go home and mope, then please do your best to give Kayaks by Boat a call. Let us know that you checked in safely, that you got off the water safely and all that happy stuff. So there you have it. The Help Emily Now tournament. Again, that's helpemilynow.org for more information. Alan?
Nice. I'm going to be there. You know what? I think this year, too, last year it was tough, man. That water was like thick chocolate milk. And places I've been fishing look better. I'm hearing reports that other areas of surrounding waters are better. So it should be a great tournament. We had a blast last year. So really, 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 really looking forward to that one. So probably one of my favorite of the year. Good cause.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It should be Steve Chapman said Austin's sister-in-law. She'll probably be on hand selling raffle tickets again, I would imagine. I would say that would be a good idea for anybody who has who wasn't at the last year's event. I guess you'll get it. Guests, I see there's a bunch of guests there in the chat room. And if you guys want to get involved in what's going on in the chat room, please feel free to do so. You can log in either using your Twitter or your Facebook account. And so you can join in the conversation there in the chat room. Alan, I know you've got a tournament coming up. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about it? Take your time with this one.
I do. Yep. It's going to be November 9th at the Cars Park Recreation Area at the end of Hall Road in Merritt Island, Florida. It's going to be a redfish-only tournament. We got some great sponsors lined up. I don't have the list in front of me. There's really too many to go over, but I will have that next show, and I will make sure I give a shout out to everybody that's on board with that one, and we're adding more as it nears. But again, it's going to be a redfish only tournament. Still working on the entry fee. We will probably do an open class, open category for whoever wants to fish. We're not going to do a ladies category this time. A couple of lady anglers at our trout tournament said they want to just openly compete. They don't want any kind of a lady angler spot. So I'm going to fulfill that wish, not do that, and just keep it open to everybody. We'll do a youth category, a big fish, small fish, probably most spots category. We'll have some prizes for that. We're looking at doing food this time. Hopefully we can get, looks like we're going to get Sonny's Catering to provide the food, and we may do some tournament t-shirts and stuff like that. So it's looking good. Hopefully the weather holds up. And don't forget, for anybody that's coming out to fish the tournament, Cars Park does have a very, very nice camping area. They've got full hookups on the water, primitive camping. They've got a little country store, pretty much has anything you would need. Food, ice, beer, drinks, snacks, not really like a full grocery store, but necessities. And I believe they've got some stuff in the works. They're going to be turning their camp store as it stands now into small efficiency type cabins. And they're building a new store on the property. So they're looking to do some improvements there. Yeah. So
efficiency cabins. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, little condo type things there with AC and the whole nine yards. They're going to take that whole store, and I don't know if you've ever been towards the back of the store. There's like a whole conference room area, big table. So it's a pretty good size area. They can probably do, I would imagine, five or six maybe little efficiency type cottage things. So don't know if it's going to be done for the tournament, but that'll definitely make for a more comfortable stay if I could line one of those things up. But anyway. Got the event on Facebook. Just look for it. It's the 2013 Cars Park Fall Redfish Classic. You can accept the invite on Facebook, and I keep everything up to date on there as far as any announcements and all that kind of stuff. So that's it.
Very cool. Very cool. And, yeah, man, for the look who's in the chat room there. We got – real quick, let's go down the list of folks who are in the chat room just to thank them for listening as we – should do every Monday night, but sometimes we neglect to. On the top of the list there, we got Miss Ashley Ray out of Canada in the chat room. Hello.
Very cool.
Black Fly Guy. Yeah, Edward is from Hellbrand Leatherworks is in the chat room there as well. We got Steve Chapman, of course, from Fishing Florida Radio, joining us as always. Great supporters of our show. We love his back. Showing the love, man. It's all about keeping things, you know, happy, hippie-like. We got a number of guests, so you can join in on the conversation by way of logging in to your Facebook page, with your Facebook account or your Twitter account. Wade the Engineer is, of course, in there. We got JPSW Fish. Matt Giles is in the chat room there. Non-pro staffer Murdoch is there. Randy English, my boy, came through for me today. Appreciate that, brother. He's there. R. Lee's there. Spazzy's there. Of course, that's Justin Ritchie, Mr. Tarpon himself. Tommy Head Jigs and 51 Beach Bum. And speaking of folks who listen to the show and how we greatly appreciate every one of you, today I had the pleasure of meeting Dave Tyler, who is a longtime listener. He sent me a message not too long ago on Facebook and said, I've been listening to KFR since about the time it began. And he was in town to see some family and friends and whatnot over here in Port St. John. He came up and stopped by Kayaks by Bow today and saw me. And it was pretty cool, man, to put a face to a listener. That was pretty awesome. And then he was so kind to bring me some a six-pack of a Beta, I guess is how you would pronounce it, Turbo Dog beer. So tonight's unofficial beverage of choice is that same beer. So appreciate that, Dave. Good looking out, buddy. That was awesome. So there you go. So this past weekend, fishing. Let's talk about fishing this past weekend. We know that Wade went to the No Motor Zone like 5 days in a row and caught some fish and beat it to a bloody pulp. Alan and I
there's probably redfish teeming in Thousand Islands right now because he's not been there.
I'm telling
probably
you,
swimming all over there.
Yeah, no doubt. But let's see. Me and you and Captain Alex, we hit up the No Motor Zone with our kids. Yes,
we did. Sorry, I was got somebody going to call in with a West Side Fishing Report.
All right, cool. Well, that's cool. All right, that's cool. So anyhow, it was awesome. We wow, really?
Here we go.
Yeah, of course. Always, there's always one. And so let's see. Stand by 1 second, folks, as I get rid of somebody there. Thank you very much. So anyway, we took the kids out to the No Motor Zone. That was pretty awesome. We had one real goal, I think, set for the day, and that was pretty much just to chill and enjoy our day out with our kids, and hopefully get at least one of them, if not all of them, on fish. And so what we did is we like divided and conquered. We got ourselves in a little group. We found ourselves in a pretty good spot. Captain Alex kind of led the way and told us where we needed to be. We then threw big giant chunks of mullet, which I'm not a huge fan of, but we did it anyway for the kids' sake, in almost a full circle around where we were sitting. And, watched as fish after fish after fish after fish swam by and ignored our baits. And then most of you guys have probably seen, most of you guys have probably seen by now on Facebook, we took a bunch of pictures of as proud dads and videos and everything else of the three of our, what's that?
Just a few pictures.
Yeah, just a couple. And just a little bit of video. And of our three children reeling in a 38-inch redfish, taking turns reeling in a 38-inch redfish. So it was definitely awesome. Really?
You know what? What?
You can hear that, guys.
I'm kicking as quick as I can. You know what was so just frustrating, and I know it was for you too. We sat there and we watched how many 40 plus inch fish would you say actually swam by us and didn't even give us the time of day, much less any bait we threw.
I had 2 40-inch redfish swim right past my legs. Like I could have grabbed, yeah. I could have reached out and grabbed a hold of them. They were like right there next to me. We were out walking away from the boats, getting away from the kids. It was yeah. crazy. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. But you know, to see the kids each in their glory of trying to fight that fish, and then Alex's daughter just absolutely owning it.
Oh, that was. She's done that before. Guarantee she's. That was awesome.
Let me tell you what, when Alex is telling her side pressure and you know, lift the rod tip, don't drop the rod tip, and telling her what to do, and she's doing exactly what he tells her to do.
Oh, she was yelling at him.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
And then, she yelled at him. Leave me alone. I got this, she said. I was like, oh my God, she did. And I watched the video that I took, and you can't make out her saying that. God, I wish you could, because that was
mine
awesome.
Either. Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. But yeah, I remember Alex like turn her to the left or to the right or whatever. And she turned the fish. She put side pressure on mm-hmm. this big redfish and turned the redfish. And dude, it was awesome. The only thing that was missing, and Pepe just said it, the only thing that was missing was Pepe and his kids, because that would have been cool.
Yeah.
Cause I mean,
yeah.
you know, it's like the little wolf pack that we got going on or whatever, but it was awesome. It was the coolest day, one of the coolest experiences I've ever had, kayak or not, fishing in my entire life. It was awesome. I mean, it was just, dude, stupid. I mean, I'm already trying to price out 38-inch redfish mounts to see if I can get like a group deal or something like that, because, I mean, I think that my kid, especially Trey, I think Trey would love to have one. And I would love to have one for the shop, KBB Outfitters, and then print that picture of the three of us with the three kids out, put it underneath it. It would be awesome. Cause, it was just a good day, man. Good day.
Yeah. Very, very good day. I mean, my only thing, I mean, that would have been cool if we would have got more fish, but I mean, we talked about before we went, we planned it a week or so ago. We said, wouldn't it be cool just to get one big, I know you wanted to get a fish, what, Trey's, your son's 42, 43 inches?
Yeah,
like
43
that.
Inches tall, yeah.
Right. And I think we might have shorted ourselves on that measurement on that fish. So I might have been over the 40 mark, but I don't know. Been trying to go back and look at those pictures. But, you know, good fish no matter what. So, and the best part was the way Alex handles the fish, and he was showing the kids how to properly handle big redfish like that, because it's tough this time of year when that water gets, I know you've talked about it before, you know, trying to revive those big fish, the big trout, big redfish. You know, the water isn't real bad, but that fish, man, as soon as he put that fish in the water, there was really, really no work on it. I mean, it bolted, so that was cool. You know, we got our pictures and released it very, very healthy, so it was awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, The whole day was just fun, man. Just listening to the kids, you know, laugh and have a good time, and watching, you know, Trey for me, watching Trey crawl all over the pro angler and just like having the best time in the world. Folks, if you haven't seen any of the pictures, I used people because I had a couple of people actually email me and ask me where he sat. And one of the pictures I just put up today, you can see it. And, yes, they are still active. There's the Orca cooler, the new 26 Orca cooler, is sitting right behind my seat, and that's what he sat on. He sat on the Orca cooler and he held on to the back of my seat, and he was fine all day. Wore his little life jacket and had the best time. In fact, he had such a good time that today, without any exaggeration, I bet you he asked me 15 times if we're going fishing tomorrow. If we're going fishing today, can we go fishing the day after today? Can we go fishing on Sunday? Can we go fishing on, you know, yesterday? And I'm like, dude, we can go fishing. Like, calm down.
Yeah, you better book it.
Dude, I'm telling you, it was really, really cool. I like Alex's idea of next time we go, we put all the kids in his offshore boat and we just run the beach and have catch little sharks and stuff. That'd be cool.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. see the caller we got, right? He's I talked to him a little bit ago. He's on the road on hold, pulled over
on
the side of the road.
Get him. I'd like to welcome Mr. Derek Burgess to our show with a West Coast report. For those of you who don't know Derek is a very well respected angler and guide over on the West Coast. Derek, what's up?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Hey, Derek, what's up, man?
Good, man. I just listened into the story, man. I saw the pictures on Facebook of those kids, man. You can't beat that. They were all so happy, and that fish was a beast, man. That's great. That's great.
Tell us what's going on over there.
Well, out here on the West Coast, man, we're catching fish, which is good. This rain has kind of put a dent in it a little bit here and there, man, but the windows we've had have been awesome. The bites have been kind of quick in between tides, and when it's on, it's on. Went out yesterday, as a matter of fact, with Esteban Gutierrez, and, I mean, we just absolutely hammered the fish, man. Like I said, it was a quick bite. First stop out there, we caught flounder, redfish, and snook back-to-back three casts. Got a couple more, and I'll tell you what, once the tide started rolling out and coming out hard, we were just nonstop snook. We probably had maybe close to 25 hits on our top waters, and we were landing all different sizes. I mean, everything from about 12 inches up to, which I had the big girl, was pushing 40.
Nice.
Had her on, man. Yeah, had her on, got her right both side, and he was all excited. Spit the lure back in my face, almost took me, but it was still fun, man. But the snook have been biting real good, which is really good to see. One thing I'm happy about is I'm not seeing too many keepers. It's either too big or too small, so, you know, which is still a good thing, you know. Seeing these fish just come back after the freeze is awesome, you know. Redfish have been, they've been funny, but we've been catching some good mid-slot to just over-slot fish. I haven't been landing any of them big mid-30s or anything like that. I've seen a couple here and there, and they've been very spooky. They're hanging around in twos and fews. Been catching most of my fish in very shallow water, anywhere from a foot to 18 inches. They're not huddled up like they usually are. They're spread out all over the bay. Once you see a fish, you'll probably see two or three more with it, and then you won't see any more for a few minutes until you see another group like that. They're moving around. They're eating hard. They're eating all the small fry that's out there. So we've been tossing a lot of the Slayer SSBs and SSTs at them. Any darker color is what's working. And if there's grass, obviously go weedless, man, and just work it nice and slow, and they're just hammering them. If there is no grass, man, just throw it on the jig head and do the same technique. Hit the bottom nice and slow, drag it, and they're gonna hit it. All the fish are eating really hard, man. With all this rain, like I said, we were having over here, you pretty much have just that window to fish when it's not raining. And once it starts, it's done. It's done pretty much for the day. But this week looks all right. I think it's going to be good. But I haven't been catching a lot of trout out here. You guys still been catching trout over there, good ones?
Yeah, man. Yeah, our trout nice fishery. Trout. Let me tell you what, Derek, our trout fishery over here, and I think Alan would agree with me, over the last two or three years has been the best I've seen it in a very long time.
Say, way back,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll put it to you like this. We don't even take pictures of trout anymore unless they're like legitimate studs, like 25-plus inch fish.
Yep.
Wow. That's awesome, man. I mean, we've been catching – actually, this year was really good, too, for the big fish on our side. I mean – big fish for us is like 24s, 23s, but, you know, we've been breaking that mark and hitting 27s, 29s, and quite a few people have been catching them over 30, you know, beginning of the season, and which is good.
Pepe just meant he just killed one not too long ago, almost 30 inches. So.
That guy,
I don't know if
he's an animal,
man.
Yeah, he is, man. And Justin, too, man. They both killed him, yeah.
Yeah, Justin. Yeah, we've killed a couple fish close to 30 inches here recently. We're on a roll. So, sorry, man. I didn't mean to cut you off like that. I just had a buster chop. No, they were bummed about it. They tried everything they could. I was with Pepe when he caught that big one, and that fish, I mean, We did after nothing. 50, he did nothing wrong. Yeah.
After 50 yeah, pictures, it was a little tough for to get them things to swim off in 90-degree heat.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Pepe's a hard worker, man. He came out here for a tournament, and I agreed to go ahead and go out with him and show him some areas, and he worked it hard. I told him it was going to be a tough day. The area we fish, Wheaton Island, on a Saturday is like just a place you don't go. You have every boater and pleasure boater over there, kayaker, Lord knows what else, just hanging out over there. So it's a big mess. But we worked hard. I mean, I think he came in, gosh, I can't even remember. I might be even wrong. But I think he came out of second or third, and I was either second or third as well. But he worked hard, man. In the very end, he had his trout. I think he had his red. No, he had a trout, couldn't find his red. And he worked hard. And at the very end, I mean, we're 5 minutes from leaving. He's like, look. I'm like, what? And I just see him juicing up his lure, cast it out there, boom, hits his fish. And I think it was like a 28 or 29. You know, and he worked hard. He didn't want to quit, man. He did it. So it was a good day, you know. But that guy there, yeah. I tell you, he's an animal.
Yep, he always, we joke about it, because he always, like right at the last second, pulls it off. We fished that one Tropic Bay over here out of No Motor Zone, and what was that, Chuck? Probably 20 minutes left before he had to be into weigh-in. He busted that, 42-inch redfish, right, like.
My goodness.
We were right next to each other. Me and Pepe were coming back. I had like, the most stressful and quite odd day of fishing ever. I caught 4 black drum during the tournament on artificials, and black drum weren't even a part of the freaking tournament. And then I went and I found some reds, and I hooked like 7 reds and lost all 7 fish. And then I had, I don't remember how many big trout that I saw. I lost 1 big trout. So, I mean, I had fish that probably would have helped me at least place. Anything would have... anything that day would have helped place. I mean, if I would have caught a trout over 14 inches, I'd have took a place in that thing. But anyhow, we're coming back to the weigh-in, and you know, we've all but just about given up. And Pepe looks over, and there's a fish pushing out of the deep grass, and throws out in front of it with a Slayer SSB. And sure enough, man, the thing ate, and I just couldn't believe it. I turn around to hear Pepe screaming, and I look. And he's like doubled over. There's a huge wake running away from him. He's like, "It's gonna spool me, B." No, he didn't say B. But
I'm just laughing. I'm trying to imagine him screaming. It's got to be funny. He's up there screaming with a cigar in his mouth.
Yeah, he's like, and I'm like, "Whoa, what's going on?" And I turn around and look. He's like, "Dude, help me out, man!" And like he's freaking out. And so I get over there. And I mean, it's not like Pepe to get that excited about catching a fish. So.
Uh-huh.
I come sliding over, and next thing you know, I look over, and dude, this big melon is coming right at us. I'm like, good God, man. So
nice.
It was definitely cool to see, but yeah, I don't know. He said it's a cigar. I believe him. I don't know. He's got
the Jameson.
Yeah, I don't know what's in that cigar, but it sure is helping him out, I'll tell you what.
he soaks the cigar in Jameson, apparently.
That's the secret.
Cool, man. Cool. What else is going on over there on the West Coast, man? Let me ask you this. Are you planning on joining us up in the panhandle for the boondoggle?
Man, you know what? I want to go so bad, but I'm actually going to be out of the – I'm going to go to Puerto Rico for like 3 days, and the same 3 days you guys are having it. So it's like, you know, it's like I've been to Puerto Rico a million times. I'd rather go to boondoggle, but I'm stuck in Puerto Rico, so – it's kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to make it on this one. But I'll definitely go to the next one, wherever you guys set it up. I really don't care. I'll be there.
We're working on the Canadian boondoggle, dude. I don't know if that's going to happen anytime in the near future, but our friend there in the chat room, Ashley Ray, is trying to set up a Canadian boondoggle.
Nice. That's got to be crazy. Definitely.
Go up there and catch some muskie A and some walleyes A and some perch.
Yeah, hey, you know it. It's all out there. That's sweet. Yeah, well, when you guys ever think about coming out to our coast and trying to do one, man, we got a couple beautiful places. I mean, that would be perfect for boondoggle. Perfect. Campgrounds, the whole nine, fishing. So, yeah, definitely, man. You guys, what you guys are doing is awesome. I went to the last boondoggle, which was my first one, Merritt Island. And, you know, the love I felt from everybody, you know, people you didn't even know. And it was just awesome. you know, get all those faces together with names. It was just great, man. Everybody was happy, and that's what it's all about, man. You know, it was just nice relaxation away from all the hoopla.
Very cool. Well, listen, man, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and do a charter, how do they do that?
They can check my website out at fatfishkayakcharters.com, and it's spelled P-H-A-T, not F-A-T. Or they can just go ahead and give me a call anytime at 813-447-4732.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate the report, brother. And give us a call again next week if you want with another report.
Yeah, not a problem. I will do that, man. Thanks, guys. Good
show.
Thank
you, man. Derek. Appreciate it.
All right,
appreciate it, man. Take care.
Yep, see you. All right, bye-bye.
Derek, that guy is solid.
There we go. Very cool.
And that's what we're trying to accomplish here on the show, man. We want you guys to call us in and call us up and give us some fishing reports from around the state. Heck, wherever you're at, Ashley, if you got one out of Canada you want to share with us, I'm cool with that too. I don't hate on the low sodium fish anymore or any less than I used to. Don't forget, we got our buddy there in the chat room, Matt Giles with HootieHoo.com. Go check him out too. He's over in the West Coast. He provides us with some fishing reports from time to time. I know Justin Ritchie's supposed to give us a shout here shortly. That's probably him there to talk about his day off the beach. You think that's him, Alan? And Alan's going to go check. And while Alan goes and checks to see if that's Justin, I'm going to hit a little commercial break real quick, and we'll be back with you in just a moment here on Kayak Fishing Radio.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Give me the Flaccid Dawn with plenty of tailing fish
and the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Awesome east!
Oh, damn, I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Tarbone.org, and talking about tarpon and bonefish, and of course, permit. On the line now, we have one Mr. Justin Ritchie.
What's going on, guys?
The king of Play Linda Beach.
Well, hold on. I wouldn't say that much. Hold on now.
He walks with tarpon.
Yeah, I hop one by one over the pod. They float me right across, like Jesus walking on water. I walk on water.
Hey, dude, listen. After what you pulled off this past weekend, you can walk on water, brother, as far as I'm concerned. That was pretty awesome, man. Watching your posts over the evening hours about you're freaking out, you're shaking, you're nervous and all this stuff, because you've got this game plan. We've talked about it a couple of times where, you know, you've done this a few times, but it's never really come through. And to go out and stick to the game plan and make it happen and land a beautiful tarpon and then also release it very healthily back into the water, or never really pulled it completely out of the water. Kudos to you for that, by the way. Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I learned after I've probably gone out and tried to catch a tarpon this summer, I don't know, at least 6 or 7 different occasions from here to Tampa, I've done it out of Sebastian. I've just been going all over the place. I even spent all last weekend in the boat with my dad just running the beaches, fishing pods of watching tarpon bust up out of the water and not being able to get them to eat my bait because there's so much bait around. And it's the one thing I learned from doing it all is, like, people know tarpon are hard to catch, but they are the pickiest and the laziest fish ever. I never realized how hard they don't want to work. They don't want to work hard for bait at all. They want the ones that I had swipe at bait, I literally had to just lob it right in front of them. So basically it was me, Philip from Orlando Kayak. We caught up and we were talking the game plan, wanted to go out off the beach, and I knew everybody and their mother was probably going to go out of Patrick Air Force Base running in their boats and fishing the pokey pods, and I haven't done that last week. I didn't want to deal with the insanity, so I talked Philip and a couple other people into going to Play Linda. just because there's no boat traffic. Nobody wants to run their boat that far north on the beach. We get out there, there's glass calm, super flat, like 1 foot or less for hours until like 10 or 11 o'clock. And we get out there, and, you know, there's no pogies to be found. No pogies. We all had a sneaky rod set up for whatever we found out there, but in the past, the only thing we could sabiki up were hornbellies or bumper or whatever those, like, spiny anal fin fish were. I don't know what they're called.
Hornbellies.
Yeah, okay, so they are hornbellies. And they're okay, but, you know, it's not really the desired bait. Like, you want a pokey or you want a mullet. Well, sure enough, right on the outside of the breakers, there's a good-sized school of mullet. So I brought my cast net just in case. And thought, oh, you know, if in case I saw a bunch of pogies or mullet or something, I'll throw my cast net. I did not realize how difficult it would be trying to throw a cast net right near the breakers. I luckily was able to get about 15 or so, almost flipped doing it. But, hey, I mean, that's kind of what you need to do. If you really got to go out and you want a chance to get tarpon, you kind of need to put in that little extra effort. Everything was strapped down. I didn't flip. I was fine. I think Philip.
Yeah, somebody did.
What's that?
Said somebody flipped.
Yeah, Philip flipped coming back in. I don't know what he was doing. I think he was trying to, like, get me on video or come back in. And on his way back in, he flipped and had everything tethered down except one rod and reel. So that's a steep price for fish, losing a $120-plus combo. That's pretty rough, but it didn't damper us. We got mullet. I split it all out. We all spread out. And this time of the year, you can't avoid the sharks. They're literally everywhere. I mean, you see them swim around your kayak. You see them, you know, dart past you. And there came a point where we couldn't keep a bait in the water for more than 15 seconds, and we were getting bit by sharks. I ended up breaking one of my rods on a shark. I was so upset. I saw tarpon rolling around me. I pitched out a mullet, and I got hooked, and I was like, okay, sweet. It was a bigger fish. It was like 5.5-foot shark. And I just got so upset. I just tightened down my drag, and I was reeling hard, and I put a little too much pressure on that fish and snapped my rod in half. And it's pretty butthurt about that. But cleaned it all up and said, you know what? I'm not going to let a bait sit out there any longer. I'm tired of this. I don't want to catch any more sharks. I have, like, 2 mullet left. I don't want to go catch any more. So I would just sit and wait for fish to roll by or come by me. I found one rolled right in front of the kayak, pitched a bait to it. I'm like, I'm going to let it sit for, like, 30 seconds. If it doesn't get hit, I'm just going to reel it back in and try to find another rolling fish. And pitched for the first one and watched the swirl under my mullet. It looks like a giant manatee tail. Like when a manatee is cruising through the water, they leave this really defined kind of like plume of air underneath the surface. It was really unique. I mean, you know, when you watch most fish hit a bait, they either like just nail the crap out of it or you don't see it happening. But this was really weird. So ended up pulling it out of his mouth, got my last mullet because that guy was destroyed, saw another fish roll, pitched it in front of it, and about 10 seconds later, I see him make a 180-degree turn, and I see him swipe and eat the mullet. I didn't feel any kind of bite. I had my bail open, finger on the line. I didn't feel anything. I just, all of a sudden, my mullet just stopped moving. And I didn't see the line move. I was like, I don't know if he ate it. So I let it sit for like 10 seconds, closed down, started reeling tight. And I just watched my line go across the front of the kayak and out into the ocean. I was like, oh, my God. So I was using all circle hooks. I don't like setting the hook on fish on tarpon like that. It's just better and probably safer to use circle hooks. And hooked up, and it just felt like dead weight. I mean, I knew it was hooked up. The fish didn't really know he was hooked. Felt like I was hooked on the bottom, right in the front of the kayak. He starts running forward, and then behind me and to my right, it jumps 3 or 4 times right off the bat. And everybody thinks you got to bow to tarpon. You cannot bow to tarpon when your rod is doubled over in front of you and they're jumping behind you and there's that much bow in your line. It's impossible. So you kind of just hold on and pray. And, you know, like when you hook a big red on the flats, people say, oh, sleigh ride, and they thank you for a sleigh ride. No, they take you for like a high speed chase. Like, you don't stop these fish when they run. You just kind of hold on, and they pull you so fast that, I mean, Philip tried to keep up with me, and he could not stay by my side to save him. He was, you know, trying his hardest just to keep it on video. And the flight only was about 20 minutes. I just tried to get it in fast. I didn't want him to die. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it, man. That's hands down one accomplishment in the kayak fishing world that I've wanted to do forever. Like, that was the number one thing on my bucket list before I did anything else, was getting a tarpon out of the kayak. So I'm just really happy that I got that taken care of.
Very cool. You know, I've been hearing a couple people around talking about the early, I guess, what would you call it, late summer, early fall mullet run. I'm hearing there, I don't know if you saw the same thing, Justin, or not, but from a couple people I've been talking to in some of the local shops down at Harry Goods and stuff, there's a just a ton of bait in the surf right now, and fish, snook, tarpon, all kinds of stuff. So do you see kind of the same thing? Is the bait getting thick already, or...?
Well, I mean, Playland is always a weird place. The day before, another friend, Steve, launched out of Playland and said he saw tarpon and bonita and everything busting bait, like, less than a mile off the beach. And then we went, and there's nothing happening. You know, bonita bust here and there, but it wasn't crazy. And this summer's been weird. Like, you know, the tarpon just kind of started moving in the past month. But, I mean, last year we were getting them in end of May, beginning of June is when everything started happening. So everything's kind of late. So it would be really weird if all of a sudden we start having a mullet run like middle or end of August. That would be crazy. That's like before all the fish even start migrating north. They're going to be up in Jacksonville and mullet run's going to start. It's going to be kind of weird. But, yeah, if they're there, man, like it's hard fishing the bait pods when there's so much bait. It's just so tough to get them to find yours. You could do different stuff. You know, if you make them bleed or you cut them in half, you're probably going to get a shark. Or, you know, it's just luck. It's really tough. You could do everything right, and there's no guarantee with it.
Awesome. That was a definitely good fish, though. How big? I mean, I saw the pictures and everything. I'm guessing what? Probably, what do you think it was, 60s maybe, 70s? That big?
It was close to 100, but I want to be conservative.
Oh, really?
And say it was like,
nice.
Yeah, a little bit before it. I mean, in the pictures, it looked a lot bigger, but in person, it was probably right at about 6 feet. And last year around this time, I got one that was 120 or more. So I kind of know it was like 90s probably. But
yeah.
like what Chuck said, it's fun size. You know, when you get the big ones, you'll just fight them for 45 minutes to an hour, and you'll be like, I'm done with this. I just want to get them in. This is, like, the perfect amount of time. You start getting tired and fatigued, and you're like, all right. And then by then, they just kind of come off, and you can get the hook out, let it go. It's a good feeling.
Yeah, very cool. Very, very cool catch, man. Congrats.
Thank you, bud.
Anybody else get anything that same day, or just that? Was that it?
Lots of sharks. different variety of sharks. Just, I think you can catch sharp nose right off the beach, right?
Yeah, you can get them out there.
Okay. The sharp nose, black tips, stuff like that. We did see, I saw two huge manta rays, and I got bit off of one of them. I don't know whether it was a cobia or not, but they just move so fast, you can't keep up with them. Saw like two dozen turtles, big turtles, like leatherbacks and loggerheads, stuff like that, and they didn't have anything on them. But there's a lot of life happening right now off the beaches. It's a totally different scene launching off Playlinda than launching off of Patrick Air Force or Coco. Playlinda is just very wild. You don't see anybody, and it's just really fresh. So it's a cool thing. You know, now's the time of the year to do it. Anybody who's never gone off the beach, I really recommend doing it. My first time going out was when I caught that cobia. Just did not know. You don't know what you're going to find and what you're going to catch out there, but it's a wonderful change of pace from fishing the lagoons all the time. It's just a great breath of fresh air.
So we had a couple questions in the chat room. Let's see, 51 Beach Bum was wondering what pound test leader you were running.
60. I mean, to be safe, like, it's probably smart to run up to 80, and I know people who use, like, 50 out there sometimes. But I got really lucky when I hooked that fish. The circle hook was dead in the top of the lip, and it was curved in such a way where he could not touch the leader at all. I snelled my hook, and it was just jammed up in there. I made sure I waited enough time for him to eat the bait and just reeled down really hard. Hook went completely through the top lip and was just jammed in there. So I got really lucky. But sometimes if they eat it funky, you know, you'll probably be happy that you had 80 pounds. It's just a give and take. 60 or 80, kind of the way to go.
Yeah, it's good to have both sizes with you, too, in case they get a little leader shy and won't eat on the 80.
Yeah.
It's nice to be able to bump down a little bit. You know, one of the reasons I think why we see so many sharks up off Belinda as opposed to other areas is because typically there's a lot more forage bait that's easily accessible to the sharks off of Belinda as opposed to, say, down at Patrick Air Force Base and down in Cocoa Beach and some of those other areas where there are still some coquina edges and some small patch reef type situations. So, because it's about the only place that I know of where you almost can guarantee yourself sharks if you go beach shark fishing is Belinda. Everywhere else, it's kind of hit or miss. But, yeah, that's cool, man. I heard the same thing that Alan had said about the bait moving up and down the beach. Last person I spoke to about Sebastian told me that there was so much bait in and around Sebastian Inlet that it was absolutely ridiculous. And the same person told me that they spotted 6 cobia free swimming near the North Jetty. So, yeah. So, I mean, you know, it has been a weird year. Then again, our weather hasn't been exactly normal. You know, it's summertime. We're not supposed to have 20, 30 mile an hour gusting days. And we've had quite a few of them. And, you know, our typical thunder showers haven't really hit us too hard over here on the beach side. So, you know, I don't know. Every year seems to be a little different. I don't really have any answers as far as why bait's been so slow about moving. This time of year, we should have just herds and herds of bait everywhere. But, you know, I guess we can take what we can get now at this point. Hopefully, we'll start to see a increase in the pogey pods over the next couple of years ever since Virginia Beach was able to get that small victory and getting those commercial ships to stop messing with their menhaden up there. But we'll see.
Oh, yeah. I read about that. Okay.
Yeah. We'll see. And that's what happens when you get a group of anglers together that want to fight a system that is wronging them. It still, for the life of me, just absolutely boggles my mind that when we are faced with the possible destruction of wildlife refuge out at the lagoon area, that hit like 10 fishermen show up to a city council meeting. 10. And 2 of those 10 were captains. And the other 8 people are part of Space Coast Kayak Anglers that showed up. And it was just, you know, it just, I don't understand it, whatever. I'm not trying to get all political on the show tonight, but, you know, if nothing else, you know, when you see victories like what those guys got up there, it makes you want to fight harder to preserve whatever it is that we have. So, you know, hey, Playland, it might not even be a beach that you could even fish off of if one of those rockets decides to get blown up before it leaves the beach. So you may end up having toxic waste all up and down that beach. So, you know, and somebody told me today, in fact, the guy who came into the shop today, I tied a couple flies for him. I can't remember his name for the life of me, but he's from Jacksonville area. But anyhow, he goes, I don't think you guys understand just how lucky you are to have what you have here. As far as the Mosquito Lagoon, the Indian River, the Banana River, the No Motor Zone, the ditch system that we've got that holds fish. I mean, he was really kind of in awe of what we have here, and we need to do our best to try and protect it so that guys like you, Justin, can still go off the beach and catch tarpon and cobias and stuff like that. And the rest of us can chase fish on the flats and follow your lead and getting offshore more and that kind of stuff. So, you know, whatever. I'm off my soapbox. That was my 5 minutes to rant, but you know it is what it is.
Well, I mean, but, just to put in a quick blurb real quick, because I don't want to get deep into it too. I remember reading about the petition that was put up on Facebook, the thing that we need, like, what, 10,000 signatures or something to help prevent SpaceX from happening. When I read it and I signed it, I was number 13. That's minuscule. I mean, now we've got maybe 200, 300, something like that. And
up to 400, but it's like we're so far removed from what we need. It's ridiculous. And like I said, those of us that don't make a living off the lagoon per se, you might not look at it as it's something that you need to get out of bed and go do something, or get off the couch and go do something. But now, dude, I'm telling you, all it will take is for them to be able to put a launch site out there, for one rocket to go up and not make it to orbit and have to be detonated off the pad and drop all that fuel into the Mosquito Lagoon, and you can kiss it all goodbye. And
you know, my reason was for all this, you remember when we had the freeze of 2001 or not 2001, 2000 something, all the Snook went off?
Yeah.
2005, yeah. 2006. My biggest fear was the year and the year before that, I'd go to Sanibel for a week, I'd walk the beaches, and I'd catch monster Snook just walking the beaches. I mean, we probably got three or four that were over 35, 40 inches. I just, you know, I was so blessed to be able to do that. And when that happened, I made sure that I wrote my senior thesis on a mock grant proposal to send over to NOAA to help provide habitat for Snook to restore them. Because I said to myself, when I have a kid, I don't want to say I remember the days when I could go out and catch big Snook off the beach. I was terrified that that was going to be a reality, that I couldn't share that experience with the people that were, you know, that I love and I'm close with. It's, you know, we want to be able to have that and be able to say, oh, yeah, I remember the days. Like, you know, you've pretty much grown up in the East Coast, and you remember the days where you could go out to the lagoon system and it's gin clear. I mean, just stupid clear. You could see everything and oysters and life and things, you know, we haven't seen for years and years. But, like, just to say, oh, I can't fish that area anymore, that's, like, it's heartbreaking thinking about that. Not even being able to take, like, potentially a year or two from now, not being able to take my girlfriend to Beacon 42. That's, you know, I can't wrap my head around it.
Well, I mean, go ahead, Alan. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's already, you know, it's a shame, but it's already changed so much from when, you know, when I came up to where my parents when I was a kid. And, yes, it's been a while. And, you know, I remember it, you know, we were in Palm Bay, and you could go anywhere up and down the river in between, you know, say Sebastian area up to, you know, up to around Pineta, and the water, it was clear. I mean, you know, the flats were clear. There was grass. We'd walk out and we'd get, you know, right off my, you know, off where my dad, you know, he ran a mobile home park right on the river, right on the Indian River. And, he managed that. And I'd go there over there in the summertime, cut grass, wade out off the dock, and I'd dig up a 5 gallon bucket full of cherry clams or, you know, grilling clams, and, right out of the river. I mean, they're, you can't even find them anymore. So
no,
it's bad.
Yeah, they're gone.
So
I had a conversation with a guy today in the shop, and look at it. And this is good, because Justin, you're a fish guy. You take care of fish and giant ponds and giant tanks and whatnot. I like to equate what's going on with the Indian River like this, and this makes perfect sense. If you take the filtration system off of a fish tank and just leave it for weeks and weeks and weeks, all that waste that builds up will turn into brown algae and will turn into other algaes that will grow inside the tank, and eventually everything will die. Well, when you take away the natural filtration of the river, i.e. the clams, the oysters, the barnacles, and even the seagrasses and some of the other invertebrates that live within the river system, what's going to happen? Same thing that we see now, brown algae and crap water and nasty conditions and dying fish and dying mammals. And dude, it's not good, man. It's definitely not good. But I'll tell you this, there is some hope, because the no motor zone, luckily enough for us, is crystal clear and the fish are happy and there's plenty of bait. Things are good. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I haven't lived here my entire life. We moved down here when I was 9. But I've been fishing the river ever since. And I remember being able to go and just catch as many redfish as you want. Anywhere you went in the river, it didn't matter where. You just go somewhere and throw a live mullet out and let it freeline, and you're guaranteed to catch a redfish. It was stupid. And the trout weren't nearly as big as I remember then, but and I think it was because they had a lot more commercial trout fishermen and such. But like Alan said, I remember digging up clams with my dad. I remember cutting my feet on oysters, you know, and there's none of that left anymore. It's a very depressing situation. But with that being said, I don't think that it's the end of the world. I think that the people who have the power to stroke a pen and change law can do so. And you know, every day somebody in the fishing world is putting up another video of the water that they're letting pour into the river system from Okeechobee. You think that's an issue? I mean, you know, we could definitely sit around and talk about this all night long, but man, it is, I don't know. It's stupid, man. It really just pisses me off at the end of the day. And after having a weekend like I just had with my son and Alan's daughter and Alex's daughter, and watching those kids have such a great time and just really enjoy themselves and laugh and then be like all together now, wow, they said when the fish came out of the water, it was just like, I can't imagine not having that for my kids when they're my age. You know, I can't imagine my son not being able to take his son when he's my age or his daughter, take him down to the river and have them catch fish, you know. And if there's one thing that moves me out of Brevard County and makes me and my family relocate, it will be that. If the fishing turns to hell in a handbasket and the river turns into a giant muck hole, which it's kind of going that direction now, I'm not going to stick around. I mean, there's no reason for me to. I'm a fisherman. First and foremost, that's what I do. That's who I am. And, you know, I don't turn a blind eye to what's going on. And just like my boss over at Kayaks by Bow, Tom, I mean, that guy fights the good fight every day, trying to help us out, trying to save what we got. And, you know, if we can get a few more people to get off their couches and show up at meetings and prove that they care, then, hey, you know, maybe we can do something about this. It's a very serious situation. The Space Florida deal. It's not something that should be taken lightly by anybody. And I think that, you know, the more pressure we put on them, the better it is. I mean, put it to you like this. Tom had people from as high levels as of governors contacting him to talk to him about, hey, can we compromise? There's something we can do, you know, Space Florida really wants to get in there. And Tom's like, no. Yeah, here's the compromise. Either go behind the restricted fence at Kennedy Space Center or go to Texas because we don't need you.
Wow.
How do we get on that topic? But anyhow, hang on, Justin. Don't go anywhere, man. I want to hit one more commercial spot real quick before we end the show tonight. And I got a couple more questions for you. I want to ask you and then we'll go. So let me find this one commercial spot real quick, and we shall hit it. Uh-oh, where'd it go? Crap. Here, I hit this in the meantime, since we're talking about sharks.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
There you go. The Yak Chum just showed up there in the chat room. For folks who are wondering what in the world that is, if you would like to record a fishing report that will stream live on the Kayak Fishing Radio app, please do so by calling in to 404-890-5232 and leave your report as a message there. You can do it also by way of Skype and add Kayak Fishing Radio to your Skype contacts. What we're getting ready to do here at Kayak Fishing Radio is we're going to have a 24-hour streaming radio program, if you will, where we're going to use your fishing reports here on the shows and also through the app. So there you go. There's your opportunity if you want to try and promote yourself and anything you got going on. If you've got a local kayak fishing club that you want to talk about, you got something going on, any kind of a fundraiser, a tournament, or what have you, feel free to call that same number, leave us a report, leave that information, leave contact information. If you're a kayak fishing guide and you want to promote yourself a little bit, feel free to share a fishing report with us and leave your contact information after that is all said and done. That would be good. Please leave your name and your location as well to that information. And this way here, we can say, you know, coming to you from whatever, or, hey, I'm so-and-so calling you from Titusville, Florida. Here's a fishing report for you, and blah, 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 whatever. It's a cool way to get a little bit more interactive activity going on the free app that is available for your iTunes for your iPhone and your Android products. So, awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Justin, so you've got the tarpon this year out of the kayak. We know you love your cobias as well. Is there another species that you would love to get out of the kayak off the beach this year? And if so, what is it?
Yeah. I'm kind of working my way up the ladder. I mean, I'm with you, Chuck. I want to go down to Pompano. I want to get some blackfin tunas. I want to get a mahi. You know, I've not caught big pelagics before offshore. Actually, I've never caught a blackfin tuna before. I mean, that would be pretty awesome to do that, like within a mile or two off the beach. But I have never even caught a kingfish before. I've never caught a kingfish. Got plenty of Spanish mackerel, but as we start getting these west wind days and it gets glass out there and all these big kings start moving in, which I think they're just kind of now starting to show up, or they're here now, I want to go out there and just strictly troll for kings. But I don't know anything about kingfish, man. I mean, I know kind of what to use to catch them, but I don't know the ins and outs and do's and don'ts. I feel like I'm just going to have to weed through another dozen and a half sharks to get one king. That's just going to be that sounds like a waste of water. That's what that sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much. It's definitely a waste of water when you start getting into sharks. But I'll tell you, a stretch 25 is your friend. A Russell lure. Yeah, a Russell lure. It's a lure called a Russell lure. It looks a lot like a bottle opener. Trust me when I tell you.
Yeah, old fashioned, kind of like beveled piece of metal.
Yep. That's affectionately known as the King Getter over in the West Coast by the commercial guys. It is definitely a great fish a great way to target them. You can use things that I've used in the past as far as plugs and stuff. They'll eat a cedar plug. A cedar plug's not a bad idea, because if you get them on a cedar plug, or if you troll on a cedar plug, the chances of a shark wanting to eat a cedar plug is pretty slim. But it's a little tough to run a good cedar plug on wire. You'd probably have to use braided cable, just because the amount of action you get out of a cedar plug would kink that single strand wire. So you probably don't want to do that. But yeah, stretch 25s, man, those things are awesome. There you go. Ed says the guys down south have been having luck with their man stretch 25s. You can go to Walmart and buy a stretch 25. I mean, it's nothing fancy. You just throw it out behind the kayak and paddle. And, looks like a – I don't even know what it's supposed to look like to them. But and also, too, they make them Mann's also makes the Pogi, which works fairly well. But I prefer that stretch 25. It's a little bit longer and slimmer, but it works real well. Yeah, king spoons are good. You can use the king spoons for sure. But sharks tend to eat the king spoons, so because of the flash. But yeah, man, I'm with you. I want to get down there to South Florida, do some stuff off the beach. I'm really, really wanting to go and fish that tournament in the Bahamas next year. Bad. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to come up with the funds and get the kitchen pass to go do so. Because that's going to be, I mean, that's an opportunity to go fish some of the most amazing waters that the world has to offer out of a kayak. So, you know, but yeah, if I had to pick one species for myself off the beach that I haven't caught out of the kayak that I really, really want is, probably wahoo, honestly.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah, dolphin don't really excite me too much because I've caught tons of them out of a boat, and I like to catch them. They're fun. They're good eating. But if I had to choose a fish that I would really, really want, it's a wahoo from a kayak. And our buddy Jameson was just able to do that recently. So yeah, that was good. What is a kitchen pass? Matt Giles asks. Well, Matt, when you grow up and you get married and you have a family. And you have to take care of said family. And then you want to go do something that's a little bit kind of out there, like go to the Bahamas for a couple of days. That's when you ask for a kitchen pass. Wade says, the youth. But Matt, it's cool. It's cool, man. I just gotta break it down for you, brother. But anyway, so yeah, probably wahoo, man. That would be an exhilarating opportunity, I say. So. Alan.
Yeah. Never caught anything out of a kayak offshore.
Alan.
Never had. Yeah, you know what? It's funny because every time on the show the topic turns to offshore, it's like, where'd Alan go?
Alan goes to sleep.
I what were we talking about?
We did the kids fishing.
You know, who was I talking to? It might have been you guys over Sunday. I don't remember now. But it was the topic was branching out and getting away from the same old every. You know, trust me. I mean, flats is my passion. I mean, that's my thing. But you know, I've never done the offshore. Haven't done freshwater. So it's, you know, I got to get out there and, yeah, there you go. That's, on Pro Staff Murdoch. Alan does not fish in any water deeper than 6 feet. That's even pushing it. I mean, it's usually, unless I have to cross water to 6 foot. Yes, I can swim, but, as some of you have seen.
Alan does turtling in deep water.
I did. It's an art form. I mean, I've mastered it. I have a very quick recovery.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Anyway, but it's cool,
Alan. Listen, we not everybody. Listen, how do I put this? Everybody has their strengths. You know, like your strength is catching fish in shallow water, and that's cool. And you know, everybody has their favorite things to do or whatever. So. I feel that if you want to be considered a well-rounded angler, you have to allow yourself to go outside of your comfort zone and try and do things or try and learn things that you've never done before.
Yeah, I agree.
And so like for me, one of the things that I was talking about the other day, I just shake my head. I don't understand how people can do it time after time is fishing the same place all the time. It drives me absolutely crazy because there's nothing to that. There's no challenge to that. When you know the fish are in a certain area, you can go and catch them. It's not hard. It's very, very simple. When you go and fish an area like, let's say, the South End Mosquito Lagoon one weekend, and then you take off and go down to Sebastian where you have to watch the tide charts. And then the next week you're over in Lake Point Set or you're over in a St. John's catching bass. Now we're talking, now we're hitting a bunch of different things. We're learning a bunch of different fisheries. You're going offshore, you're trying this, you're trying that. You know, I've been very blessed in my life to be able to pursue a passion of fishing that, you know, has allowed me to go and do just about everything that I could ever think that I've ever wanted to do within the state of Florida, you know, or even up in New York. I mean, I know the offshore game. I've done it. I've owned a boat that has given me that opportunity to get out there and fish for wahoo and dolphin and tarpon and all these things. And I've owned bay boats and you know, all kinds of boats. So, but still, out of a kayak, there's some things I haven't done that I definitely want to do. And, you know, like watching Ed and those guys do the mothership trip he just talked about there in the spot. Dude, I would love to go do that because it's something I have not done. I've never taken my kayak and put it on a boat and gone out in the Gulf of Mexico and caught, you know, crazy groupers. And, you know, it gets you out of your comfort zone a little bit. Is it a little hair-raising the first few times that you do something that you haven't done as far as especially going off the beach? Yeah, dude. I'll tell you, the first time I ever launched a kayak off the beach, I took a it was a Heritage Redfish 14. I paddled out off of Melbourne Beach. I was out there for maybe 20, 30 minutes, thought I was going to die, turned around and came back. swear to God, true story. I was out there for like 20 or 30 minutes. It wasn't the best day. The wind was picking up a little bit, and I did not feel safe. So I turned around and came back in. And actually, I ditched the kayak on the way back in and grabbed the pole out of it. I only had one rod. Grabbed the pole out of it, held the rod above my head, and swam in the shore as my kayak was like doing somersaults in the surf. And
oh my God.
Yeah. And hey, I'll be honest. I mean, was it scary? Yeah, it was scary as hell. The next time I went out, I kind of knew a little bit more what I was to expect from the ocean and its power with a plastic boat. And I did just fine. I caught a bunch of fish and I had a great time. But, you know, it's one of these days, Alan, we'll get you out there past the breakers.
Yeah.
And
for no other reason than I just, you know, I just don't do it. If I got, you know, if I got set it up, right conditions, right group of guys, and, you know, I need to get out there and do it, so it'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to make a trip out there and go with you. I've only been off the beach. Well, actually, I can't say that. I think this year I've been out about 5 or 6 times. But, dude, I mean, the first time I went out, I was ready to blow chunks. I did not like the feeling of tossing around in a kayak, ready to make a pass. Like I couldn't handle it. I mean, I remember I had to lay down on my kayak out in the middle of the ocean while John and Nick Sabiki my bait because I thought I was going to throw up. I'm like, I'm not doing this. You guys Sabiki bait. And they're like, no, we're not going to catch your bait. Be a man. Catch your own bait. I'm like, no, I think I'm just going to take a nap. And I did. I took like a 30-minute power nap way offshore and just kind of chill. I was kind of in and out of the sleep, but like I wasn't having it. I mean, that wasn't for me. I mean, if you take Dramamine, or it takes bonine or some kind of nausea thing your first time out, it's actually exhilarating. Like, you're going to love pounding your chest, getting past the breakers. It's not scary.
Yeah. You know, well, I've been offshore. I've been, you know, I used to fish tournaments with a now ex-brother-in-law that I had. We fished several tournaments a year and, you know, been offshore fishing, party boats, all kinds of stuff. So it's not so much that, you know, I don't get seasick or have never had a problem with that. I don't know about a kayak, whether that would be any different or not, but, you know, it's not for any fear of anything or sickness or anything else. I just, you know, haven't had a desire to be in, you know, deep water doing, number one, I don't have the gear for it. I've got nothing bigger than a 3000 Shimano spinning.
Hey,
so,
I can
drop some
to say, like,
rig,
you know,
eight,
like,
but,
hey, Alan, you can use one of my setups, but after breaking one of my rods, I'm like, no, I know what happens offshore. So
let me tell you something, dude. No, you're not borrowing nothing. After the last time I let somebody borrow one of my rods, my favorite combo.
That's why I brought it up.
I know. And it ended up on the bottom of the ocean. Thank you very much, Chris Flores, for dropping my absolute favorite Abbott LX6 and Crowder rod combo that I caught my first wahoo and dolphin on.
What the hell? You dropped an Avid? It was an Avid? You don't drop Avid,
yeah,
period.
Yeah, well, he didn't have it strapped into his Hobie, and he was throwing a chunk of bait next to a bridge in the Keys and didn't expect it to get torn out of the rod holder. Thank you.
Anyway,
I digress. No, but Alan, I'll tell you a fun. Yeah, I'm very bitter. I'll tell you a funny story real quick. My buddy Jimmy Schick. Jimmy Schick is a crazy person. This kid has been fishing offshore his entire life. He's probably caught more legitimate 30-pound red snappers and 40 and 50-pound groupers and just giant bottom fish than anybody else that I know. And this kid will go out there and he will fish for dolphin, he will fish for cobia, and he will fish for tarpon with a 3,000 Saros on a 7 foot on a 7 foot rod. And it is the craziest thing you've ever seen. And the coolest thing about it, the reel is still as smooth as the day that he bought it. Caught red snap. He catches a red snapper off it, caught triggerfish off it. He's caught grouper off it. The dolphin are the best because they just go ballistic right off the first bat. And it's just, you know, a decent little run. And but on a little tiny 3,000, like, how cool would that be?
Yeah.
I mean, Chuck, like on my Stratic 8,000, my clicker broke like halfway through the fight. I couldn't hear drag coming off my reel. I can't imagine fighting a fish that pulls a lot of line quickly on a 3,000. Like, it'll heat up.
Yeah.
I just can't get it.
It was nuts. Now,
absolutely nuts. My nephew got a 40, probably. It was way past the end of my 36-inch loft stick, so it was easy into the 40s, mid 40s or bigger. On a 3,000, on a sustain, an older series Shimano sustain, you know, great reel. And redfish, yeah. Big bull redfish.
Dude, my biggest redfish.
Smoked, literally, yeah, just broke, literally smoked the clicker on the drag. Because half, like Justin said, halfway through it, drag was working, it just quit clicking. And when he got that fish in and we released it, I took the spool off, the end of the clicker, or what was gone on the clicker was purple. When metal gets real hot and it turns purple, it burned it, just smoked it.
The biggest redfish ever caught on my kayak is 52 inches. And that fish I caught on a 3,000 Saros on a 7-foot medium action rod that I built. And, dude, when that fish finally realized he was hooked, I didn't think I had a chance in heck of stopping it. The biggest redfish I ever caught was bigger than that, but it wasn't out of a kayak, and I was about 16. I was fishing down by Pineta Causeway. For those of you that are local, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The Horseshoe Sandbar and the Banana River right next to the little relief bridge.
Yeah, it's gone now.
But it was there like years ago. Anyway, I was standing on the corner of that thing, and I threw a finger mullet, free-lined finger mullet, over towards the mangrove trees that are along the shoreline on the east side of that. And the line came tight, and next thing I know, this little – and this is a true story. My buddy bought me this combo for my birthday out of a pawn shop. This was a – it was a Bass BASS series baitcaster from Quantum on some hokey baitcasting rod. And this fish – almost completely spooled me. I had like 4 or 5 wraps left on this on the spool. So I literally hand lined him for like, I don't know, probably 10 or 15 yards to get something back on the reel to give me something to really pull with, and ended up landing it. When I picked the fish up, her nose was underneath my armpit. I was holding her up by his gills, and his tail was flat on the floor. And I haven't groaned since then. So it was an easy 58, 60-inch fish for sure. And without a doubt, the biggest redfish that I've ever personally even hooked. But on a hokey little BASS-style, baitcaster. It was crazy. But you know what? I love to fish light tackle. I'm not a big proponent of fishing with too heavy a gear. I like to give the fish an opportunity to bust me off. And even if I'm fishing for meat, so when we go down to South Florida, we go over to the West Coast, do some grouper stuff. Yeah, I'm going to bring out the 8,000 Saragossa with 40-pound braid, you know, doubled up, tied to 80-pound mono or whatever, just to whoop a couple fish. But when it's all said and done, I'm going to bust out something light and try and just play. You know, it's a lot of fun to challenge yourself and challenge your technique to fish.
Yeah, 3,000 Saros on Red Grouper.
Yeah, hey, it could be done, dude. I'm telling you.
I definitely know that.
Yeah, if you can finesse them, man, it'd just be freaking awesome. So, Dusters with live bait at the Boondoggle for Kings and Very Large Spanish. You know what? I did chip show. For those of you that don't know, I jumped on board and did chip show for him last Thursday. And we were talking, and we had Brad from Sunjammers on the show, or he was in the chat room, I should say. And Brad said that there's a limit on triggerfish over in the West Coast, and it's like 2 per person, I think. And if that's the case, I'm a little disappointed because I was hoping that it would be like over here where I can go just lay carnage to everyone that swims on a reef and kill like 50 of them and stuff the whole of my PA-14 full. But regardless, it would be awesome to go get my 2 triggerfish. So whoever lives up in that region and is listening to the show, if you want to send me a message on Facebook and hook a brother up, I would greatly appreciate it. Because I know the red snapper season will be open then as well, folks, for the Boondoggle. So you're allowed, I believe it's 1 or 2 per person. I think it's 2 per person on red snapper up there. I'm not real sure, but from what I understand, there'll be all kinds of things going on. So, there we go. Wait, so sometimes you can catch triggerfish inshore in the panhandle. Well, you tell me where inshore in the panhandle is, and I'm going. And I'll do just like I did when we were up in Virginia Beach. All I wanted to catch in Virginia Beach at the Boondoggle was a flounder. And everybody leading up to the Virginia Beach Boondoggle told me how many flounder are up here. There's so many flounder. Shouldn't be a problem. You're going to get your flounder. And got all the way up there, and I jigged and jigged and jigged and jigged and jigged. Did I say I jigged? I kept jigging. And
you did.
Dude, I jigged. No. I catch a damn flounder. I drove all the way to Virginia Beach. You know what I caught? I caught 1 dink trout, and I caught like 4 rat reds. And I was just like, ugh. And at that point you realize, all right, a boondoggle is much more than just a fishing trip. A boondoggle is about hanging out with people, having a good time. So, but what was really interesting about Virginia, and I hope that one day we get to go back there, is we went and fished this back bay area, and it looked a lot like you're fishing on a freshwater lake. There's like houses all around it and everything, and it was just very lake-ish, if that makes any sense. It just looked like a lake. And we were fishing along, and we're fishing with Stan, Scuba Stan. We're fishing with his wife, Holly. And she caught a black sea bass, like next to a down tree, like you would catch a bass, like next to a tree. She flips a jig over and catches a black sea bass, like a legitimate black sea bass, in what looks like this big lake. I come to find out later that it's just a pass that kind of loops around into the Chesapeake, but still, it was pretty crazy. And we caught some nice trout actually in there and around those docks as well, but whatever. I digress. The boondoggle up there in the panhandle should be a lot of fun. If you guys have not gone ahead and taken care of your registration for said boondoggle, if you haven't set up a reservation to have a place to stay up there, I would suggest that you seriously contemplate doing that. It would make your life a lot easier when it comes time to find a place to stay. I think that there's only a handful of spots left. There may be a couple of spots that have recently opened up with water and electric. So most of us from here in the Space Coast are camping out in Section C. And I was going to say, so yeah, Randy English and Wade saying that. Alan, where are you staying?
You know what? Whoever's got an open spot. I know you mentioned I'm still toying with my plans right now with the wife's work schedule issues, my work schedule issues. So, you know, I think I mentioned to you before, it may be a solo trip for me too. So I think I'll, you know, I'm registered and everything. And, you know, it may just be a thing where I just load up my stuff, head up there with a tent and, you know, just do some squatting. So just bounce from site to site maybe and just kind of stay under the radar. I don't know yet. So, but something will happen.
Justin, are you going?
I am, but I haven't done anything yet to prepare for it. I mean, you know me, I'm that, like, I'm like the, like those, please, sir, can I have some more kind of kids at boondoggles and camping events. I'm pretty pathetic. So I need to get my stuff straight and just register and get a spot. I've been working on other stuff right now. I haven't planned that far ahead.
Well, like
but
I say, man, just let us know.
And I'm going.
Yeah, just let us know. I know, Alan, there should be room on my little plot of land for you, too. So,
yeah,
you know,
cool.
I think it's going to be something that we should really worry about.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I've had
right.
a few people.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yep, that right. too. Chicken.
Chicken.
Chicken. goodness gracious. Let's see.
All
what
right.
else, man?
But, Chuck,
yeah, no worries.
I gotta head out. Yep, I'm going to do some stuff with my lady. But I just wanted
to... Cool, man. Do some stuff with your lady and have a good evening and appreciate the report. And look forward to talking to you again soon here shortly, brother.
All righty. Thank you guys for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Justin.
Later, Justin.
Later, man.
Later.
Yeah, Justin and I had a conversation outside of Kayaks by Bow the other day, and let me tell you something. Justin's legit, dude, as far as knowing what he wants to accomplish in the world of kayak fishing and fishing in general. I mean, the kid's got his head on his shoulders proper. And I call him a kid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't, you know, he's younger than me, whatever. He's a kid. So, but no, I got mad respect for, Spaz, but whatever. T and Crumpet.
He's an artful fisherman.
Dude, anybody who can sit Indian style on their kayak all day.
All day long.
Paddle sitting Indian style.
Yep.
It's pretty awesome, man.
Crisscross applesauce.
Crisscross applesauce.
Yep.
There you go. I like it. We'll go with that. All right, man. Well, let's wrap this puppy up. It's time to go to bed. Again, I'd like to thank Dave Tyler for being my beverage connoisseur helper outer tonight, man. I appreciate that six pack, man. That was it has been enjoyed thoroughly. And Alan Ryland, would you like to do the honors of wrapping up the show with any kind of other things we need to talk about? Go ahead and plug your tournament again.
Yeah, the Cars Park Fall Redfish Classic, November 9th. You can go ahead and sign up on Facebook now. We'll do the actual official registration coming up very soon once we figure the pricing out. And other than that, just to thank some of my sponsors for everything: Kayaks by Bow, Harry Goods Outdoor Shop in Melbourne, Red Zone Apparel, Temple Fork Outfitters, Jackson Kayaks, Yak Gear Railblazer, gosh, what else? Bending Branches Aquabound Paddles, and Slayer Inc. Lures. I think that's it.
And I wrote mine down, man. But real quick before we get to that, horrible. HelpEmilyNow.org. Don't forget, folks, go check out the website, HelpEmilyNow.org, and see if you can help out the Rouse family on the second annual kayak canoe inshore fishing tournament to raise the much-needed funds for Emily's therapy expenses. This year's tournament will be held at Kayaks by Bow in Titusville on September 14, 2013. By clicking the tournament logo on their website, you will find all of the information that you will need about the awesome event, including registration, location, rules, and regulations, and, of course, the sponsor information as well. Whether you're an experienced tournament angler or a first-timer, trust us. This is one you will not want to miss.
So, yeah, man.
September 14th. Be there. It's going to be a great time. As I said before, the list of prizes and such are just, it's ridiculous. And what else? There was something else I was going to do too, and now I forgot. Never mind. Alan, I'd like to personally thank you, buddy, for hanging out yesterday. Had a great time. Definitely made some memories, man. That'll last an absolute lifetime.
Yeah.
And again, with Captain Alex. What?
I was going to say, we got to do it again.
Oh, yeah, of course, dude. My kid, that's all he wants to do now, so, and I'm cool with it. Yeah, so Captain Alex, thank you so much, brother, for your time spent with the kids and coaching them on what to do properly when fighting a big fish. That was awesome. It was like an on-the-water class with one of the probably one of the best kayak fishermen in the whole country, Captain Alex. And if you guys are looking to do any kayak fishing charters, look up Captain Alex, by the way. He does kayak fishing charters and nearshore offshore charters as well. Local lines. What is it? Local Lines Guide Service?
Local Lines Guide Service, yep.
LocalLinesGuideService.com?
Yep, that's it.
Sweet. LocalLinesGuideService.com. And, of course, check out our boy Lenny Sutton for all of your custom rod needs. I'd like to thank my sponsors, of course, Hobie, Orca Coolers, Tackle Webs, Railblazer, Yak Gear, Ego Nets, ENO, Bending Branches, Slayer Lures, and, of course, Kayaks by Bo. So to all of those great sponsors, thank you so much for all the support which you show me. I greatly appreciate it. And, of course, to Mr. Chip Gibson, the godfather of kayak fishing radio, brother, thank you so much for allowing us to do it, what it is that we do. And cool.
Hey, we messed up. It's LocalLinesCharters.com. The name of the business is Local Line Guide Service, but the actual webpage is LocalLinesCharters.com.
Wow.
Just to correct it.
Hold on, what's Feppy saying? Looks like I'm going offshore with kayaks with Alex on Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, he saw a post. I guess he jumped a tarpon the night off the beach in his kayak. Fired up.
Well, I might be able to make that happen with, like, if I bring an Outback. I'm not fitting a PA-14 and y'all's boats on his boat. But, cool. Anyway, we'll figure it out. But either way, give our good buddy Alex there some love. Go to his Facebook page and say hello. And if any of you guys ever have any questions, feel free to contact me at either Facebook. You can look up Redfish Chuck. I'll pop up. And then also I'm on Twitter, Redfish Chuck. And you can hit me up on my email, redfishchuck@hotmail.com. Comments, questions, concerns about the show, things you'd like to hear, people you'd like to hear from. I apologize once again. For the second week in a row, we weren't able to line our guest up for tonight. I don't know what that's about, but we'll figure it out. And with that being said, folks, we showed you the proof is in the pudding. Take a kid fishing, man. They're the future of our sport. And if you get them out on the water, you'll make memories that will last a lifetime. And with that, we're out. So I hope everybody has a good week. Don't forget to check out our shows upcoming, the Double L show tomorrow night, Mr. Wheeler's show, the Low Sodium show on Wednesday night, and then, of course, the godfather himself, Chip Gibson of Kayak Fishing Radio, he will be live in studio, so to speak, on Thursday night with Buzzards Row, the roundtable discussion. So try to tune into as many of our shows as you can. Share our show with everybody you know on Facebook as well. Let's try and build up our user rate. Things get really cool when we start getting more listeners, man. You guys can get more prizes and things will be a little bit more fun for all involved. So with that being said, God bless. Take it easy. And we'll leave on the Bonefish Tarpon Trust spot. See ya.
Give me later. A glass of dawn. With plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
What an awesome eat!
I got one! Oh, damn, I got him! You got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at OrcaCoolers.com.